Okay, good morning, everybody.
All right, good morning. We're on Sukkah, Daf Yutesa Amud Aleph. The Shiur sponsored, Masechta Sukkah sponsored by Yitzhwai CPA. Shake things up a bit this tax season. Breakfast sponsored by Bagel Munch, as always, in honor of Haimi's granddaughter. We're on Yutesa Amud Aleph, if you remember. The last Sugya was a Braisa said, a little bit of a cryptic remark. Pesel hayotze min hasukkah nidon kesukkah. That was the whole braisa. It's the word pesel normally refers to schach. So the schach hayotze min hasukkah nidon kesukkah. We had four opinions in the Amoraim about what that means. Shulchan Aruch, I believe, accepts all four opinions in some form. The last one is Rabbi Oshia. Rabbi Oshia is down around 10 lines up from the bottom, and he says, what it says is that he interprets what that braisa referred to, is if I have some schach pasul, which is normally not what pasul refers to, but anyway, that's how he's interpreting. Schach pasul. Now, we remember from earlier, it was all machlokas about how large a piece of schach pasul will pasul a sukkah. Min atzad, near the wall, we know it's dalet ams, but in the middle is halmachlokas. So we hold dalet tfachim. Dalet tfachim is normally the shear of apsul. If you have dalet tfachim of schach pasul in one place, that breaks the continuity, the contiguousness of the sukkah. So it says over here that Rabbi Yoshi is interpreting that the Braisa was saying that if I have less than gimel tfachim of schach pasul, schach pasul pachas meshlosha besuka kitana, then what does the braisa say about it? Nidon kesuka, that's kosher. Okay. I mean, that's the Gemara is going to say. Well, that's nothing unusual. But that we already knew a long time ago. Maskev la Rabbi Oshia. This is Rav Hoshia from Bavel is challenging this interpretation. Lo yehel avir. I mean, even if you had a gap of less than gimel tfachim, we would call that kosher. The avir pachas mishlosha tfachim besukkah ketana mipasel. It wouldn't pasel even in a sukkah ketana, which means that he's asking that there's no chiddush. If you have less than gimel tfachim of schach pasel, you're going to tell me that it counts as nidon kesukkah. It's kosher. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba is responding to Rav Hoshia, saying, I think the way Tosus understands it is like this, that if you have, let's say you had under Gimel Tfachim of a gap, so we know that that is not going to passel the sukkah. What would passel the sukkah look like? It means it wouldn't split the sukkah into separate pieces, discontinuous pieces. So if it's less than gimel tefachim, so then the whole sukkah remains kind of intact, and then that would be a kosher sukkah. But if you have, but what the Gemara is saying is over here is Rabbi Abba is saying yes, it's kosher, but you can't sleep under that spot. That spot where there's a big gap, even if the gap is less than gimel tefachim, less than gimel tefachim, so it's not going to split the whole sukkah, but it's a gap in your schach. So you can't be under that gap. So even though the sukkah is kosher, but that spot is a little zone of psul inside your sukkah. So that's what he says. That's if you have avir. But if you have schach pasul, less than gimel tfachim, then in the sukkah, so then is that mitzareif yishenim tachtav. That's kosher. That's a zone of kashrus in your sukkah katana. So everybody wants to understand what are the parameters of this, which sounds like, you know, it was presented as a kula, but incidentally, we're discovering that there is a possibility of a zone of psul inside your kosher sukkah. So what are the parameters of that kind of a thing?
But if that gap is running across, let's say, from east to west,
the whole length,
and the person is sleeping literally underneath it, yeah. Like in the sense, his whole body is under the gap. Right. But how about if he sleeps from north to south and only part of his body in that gap?
Right, so exactly. So that's what the Rishonim say. The Ran just says that we're not talking about tiny gaps. We're not talking about, you know, little gaps of the Tefach. We're talking about gaps that are large enough that your head could fit in that gap, that your rove of your body can be situated under the gap, if that's what you've done, so then yes, so then you're in a pusl zone. But if most of your body is in the kosher zone anyway, even if a little bit of you was in the pusl zone, then nobody would question the validity of that yeshiva
gesukah. Meaning, if you're sleeping across it, then it's not a problem.
Either that, or if you're sitting there. Mm-hmm. Or, let me just add, that we happen to hold that you're not allowed to have your food in a pusl zone, even if you're in a kosher zone. That's one of the dinim derabanan. You're not allowed to shema yimasha chachar achilaso. So you wouldn't be allowed to have your food under that zone either. Even though it's not clear from the Gemara over here, but that would follow. So in any case, the point is that if it's only true if you have a gap. So there's an extra, that's what he interprets the Pesel Yotze rule. Not the Pesel, yeah, the Pesel Yotze rule to refer to in its fourth interpretation. Umiyika, the Gemara asks, hold on a minute, how does that make any sense? You're going to say that I have a minimum dimension of Zayin Tfachim minimum, and it's made up of a gap, and the gap is, I don't know, a few Tfachim or whatever, it's a gap, less than Gimel Tfachim of a gap, so it'll contribute to the minimum necessary dimension, but it's puzzle. In other words, how can you have a thing that's puzzle contribute towards the overall kashrus of the overall minimum dimensions required? That's what he asks. Is there such a thing? The etzdarufi mitzdar if you want some more inner kasher. I'm Rabbi Nachman. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar El Yashiv or El Yishav. And he says, yeah, what's the problem? I have an example for you. Tit hanarok yochiach. If you have mud in a mikvah. The tit hanarok yochiach. If I have mud in a mikvah or in a whatever pool, that's and I have just up to memsa of water, I have the water level is marked off, I'm up to memsa of water, but some of this water is really mud. Shemitzdareif liarboimsa. So that'll be kosher as a mikvah, but toveling in mud is not going to count. So you have a phenomenon like that, where I have a substance, which it itself is puzzle, if, you know, it per se is puzzle, but it can combine with the kosher parts to make the entire thing kosher. So, you know, as a mashal, he's saying that he's not bothered conceptually with such a phenomenon. It's not a paradox. All right, Mishnah. It says, Ha'osa sukaso kamin tzrif, osha samcha lekosel, Rabbi Eliezer posel, b'pnei she'in lagag, v'chachami machshirim. It says, if you make your sukkah like a teepee, it's great that we have teepees, because I don't know how, they have to like explain the word kamin tzrif in like five lines of explanation, but we have a thing called a teepee, so that makes it obvious. Or like a lean-to, where you take just all of the straight sticks of the schach and just lean it against the wall. And now you're underneath the whole lean-to. So it's all, and all the sticks are all kosher l'schach. So what's the did in that case? Remember what the minimum requirements are for a sukkah. The minimum dimensions are you need to have walls and a schach and a roof. You'd have walls and a roof. Well, what if I don't have a distinction between my walls and my roof? What if I just have a teepee? So does that count as walls or does that count as a roof? If I'd only count it as roof, then I don't have walls, so no good. If it counts as walls, then I don't have a roof, but that's no good. So what is it? So what would be the status of such a thing? So it says here, Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim. The way the Mishnah presents it, Rabbi Eliezer pasels, the chachamim machshir. And the wording is that Rabbi Eliezer pasim pnei she'ein la gag, which means that he's considering that those slanty poles would count as defanos. So incidentally, just I would point out that in terms of regular methodology of psak, if you had no additional information, we would paskin against Rabbi Eliezer. Normally, you paskin against an individual shita when it's presented against stam. In this case, Kal Vachomer, because it's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer generally loses in a machlokes because the Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer is a shamuti. So we would normally pass in against him. If you notice, there's a little aleph of Dein Mishpat that goes next to Rabbi Eliezer. So that should have at least, you know, puzzled you as you're reading it. Mm-hmm. The Gemara is going to clarify all this. Gemara says, Tana, Moda Rebbe Eliezer, she'im higbiya min hakarka tefach hifliga min ha'kosel tefach shehi kashera. This is a very interesting qualification. The Braisa says that Rebbe Eliezer, who is passeling, would agree that it would be kosher if this sloped piece was actually not fully diagonal, but it had a part. Let's say Dafanos would normally be vertical structures, and then on top of it you have the roof, right? So let's say you did have a tefach tall vertical piece on the bottom, and then upon that you had your schach. In other words, let's say you did have a rim of at least a tefach around you, a vertical, and your slopey teepee, I guess, ran over that. And so that would be considered kosher, even according to the ones who passel, because that would at least delineate at least a one tefach tall side. The rest of the schach running up can be viewed as contributing to that dofen in some way, but that most of it is going to be considered to be the schach. He just says as long as you could delineate a part where it's vertical as a dofen, or if you had the same thing going on top, or if you had some horizontal piece on top that would be at least a tefach of horizontalness, and then the diagonal would come down to the floor, so then that would all be kosher.
So that same pole, rod, what have you,
it's still going to serve both functions. It's still going to be doing both. But for some reason, he wants to still be able to at least point to something which is unequivocally either mechitza or gag, and the diagonal part can then be used for both purposes afterwards. Not so obvious to me exactly what the logic is, but that's the way he's describing it. So that's the way it's qualified over here. My time of the Rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan hold that it doesn't matter? You can just have a straight diagonal the whole way and be okay with it. Because shipua yohalim ke'ohalim damu. Because we have other makoros, other places where the diagonals, the overhang of an ohel. Ohel is normally a horizontal thing above you as a roof. But shipua yohalim ke'ohalim damu. But the slope down part has the same status as an ohel, and therefore that is supposed to account for why it's okay if the entire thing is diagonal. We can still consider it to be kosher. Schach is necessary. And as opposed to, like in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer said, Pasul she'ein lagag. He says, no, you can call this a gag, so no problem. Wait a minute, so what's the bottom line so far? So far the bottom line is this. We have a machlokas ha-tanayim about a fully diagonal component of the sukkah. And we're told that if there is at least a portion on the bottom which is vertical, or a portion on the top which is horizontal, then the whole thing would be kosher. Everybody would agree to that. And so, and the justification apparently is shipuay ohalim ke ohalim damu. Okay. In any case, so I don't know exactly what the underlying logic is. But now you get to the following interesting thing, lahalacha. Abaye ashkechele Rav Yosef tekagani bekilas chasanim. Abaye was the Talmud of Rav Yosef. So he saw his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, was gani b'kilas chasanim. He was sleeping, he set up his bed to have a kilas chasanim structure. A kilas chasanim structure is, we've seen that before already. We've seen in Yud Aleph, he saw these already, the kinofos and the kila. The whole thing about the beds and the naklitin on the bed, and when the bed has a kind of a canopy over it, or if the bed has kind of posters or something. So this is what Rav Yosef was doing. He was in a bed, and it had a kilas chasanim structure on it, and he was in his sukkah. So what's the problem? The problem is that earlier we encountered that sometimes that's a psul, because your canopy might count as a gag. And if it has the rules of a gag, and if it has a certain amount of kvius to it, then it would be pasul if you're in that, because the schach wouldn't help for you, because you'd be under a pasul zone in your sukkah. But this particular one was made of the type where we had, you know, a pole running in the center of the headboard and a pole running up from the center of the footboard, I guess, and then it was hanging down exactly like a tent. You know, where the tent has the single string running in the middle that holds up the middle, and then it comes down slope to the ground on the sides. And that was the way his bed was set up in the sukkah. And Rav Yosef was in this bed, and Abaye was saying to him, what are you doing? The only reason you think that this is okay, obviously, must be because you hold that this doesn't count as a roof. That this doesn't count as a roof. So if this were made of schach, this would be puzzle. But that itself was Rabbi Eliezer's shita in the Mishnah. In other words, what for Rabbi Eliezer is a chumra in the Mishnah would turn out as a kula here if you made your structure out of pasul schach. So if it's pasul schach that's running up to a point and has no sides or no top, so then that doesn't count as a gag, in which case it doesn't count as a thing that's mafsik, in which case it doesn't count as a psul. So you could take advantage of that rule and make up a bed structure inside your kosher sukkah, which is the sides of your sheet, which is pasul, are going to go up to a point running along the middle of the bed, and you'll be allowed to sleep in that, not worried about the problem of the schach pasul being its own gag, its own ohel. So in any case, the point of this is that that's what Rav Yosef was doing, which Abaye was saying, clearly you're doing this because you're holding that such a thing made of schach would be pasul, and that's why I can disregard it now that it's made of schach pasul over here. So he says to him, So why are you following Rabbi Eliezer all of a sudden? He asks him. Amalei, come on, Rabbi Eliezer. Shavkis Rabbana, we have this Rabbi Eliezer. You really hold like Rabbi Eliezer and you're ignoring the Shitas HaRabbanan? Amalei. So Rabbi Yosef tells Abaye, Braisa Ibchatani. No, because in the Braisa, it presents its machlokes with the reverse names. Namely, what? Rabbi Eliezer Machshir, Vachachamim Poslim. Rabbi Eliezer was the one who was Machshir. I'm following the Chachamim. So now, you know, by the time of Rav Yosef and Abaye, the Mishnayos were already set. So he challenges back. Abaye challenges back to Rav Yosef. Shavkis Masnisin V'Yavdis Kebraisa. Really? Just because you have a Braisa that has it the reverse, that gives you enough confidence to say that you can disregard the way it's presented in the Mishnah and follow the Braisa? Amar Lei, he said to him, well, I have something else in my back pocket, which is, I can tell you that the Mishnah, it's not that it's wrong or corrupt, but it's following a Shitas Yachid. Namely what? Mesnisin Yachidahi Bisanya. Because we have a different braisa that says Ha'osa sukaso kemitzrif oshesam chalakosel. Rabbi Nasan Omer, the Tana Rabbi Nasan presents that Rabbi Eliezer pasels b'pnei shein lagag v'chachamim machshirin. So what Rav Yosef just told us is that our Mishnah does accurately present Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim only according to Rabbi Nasan, the Tana who presents it that way. But the other Tanoim felt that he had gotten it wrong. So it's not that the Mishnah is corrupt or got it wrong, but the Mishnah was only presenting Rabbi Nassan's version of the Machlokas, as opposed to the mainstream presentation of the Machlokas, which you don't know by just reading the Mishnah. But if you had access to these other braises, then you would get a bigger picture according to Rabbi Yosef, and therefore you would know that really the dominant view would be like what the Mishnah presents as Rabbi Eliezer is really the Shitas HaChachamim. So that's why we would paskin, as we do paskin, that you have to be machmir about a teepee made of kosher schach or a lean-to made of kosher schach, unless you put in a one tefach vertical piece on the bottom as a wall, as a mini wall, or that you have a horizontal gap along the top part, which can at least be identified as a gag.
Well, why would Rebbe put in the Mishnah?
The Shitas Rebbe Nasan?
Right, or not letting us know about it.
Well, he might not have necessarily realized that this was a Shitas Yachid. He might not have had Rabbi Nassan's Braisa, but I don't know the relationship between Rabbi Nassan and Rebbe. So I don't know if this was something more calculated, more deliberate or not. But at least by the time we get to this, that's why at least we can say La Hachmir on this. All right, Mishnah says, Amachatzelas HaKanim. What if I have a mat? So what is a mat? A mat is you take sticks, kanim, you take sticks, and then you bundle them all together into a flat mat. That's a mat. What does anybody use a mat for? In our world, mats are for walking on. I don't know, you walk on it. You have a mat to walk on. That's pretty much what it was. And if that's true, so then the halacha would say, so then it is mekabel tuma, it's a kli, it's mekabel tuma, and you wouldn't be allowed to use it as a eschach. You wouldn't be allowed to use a kli eschach, because a kli is mekabel tuma. All the things that you use for eschach have to be non-kalim. So it says, well, if I have a machatzelas akonim, they didn't apparently think of using a mat for walking on as a mat. They instead had a use of a mat as being something else. So I don't know what to tell you. But they must have, I don't know exactly what it is, but they thought that it's convenient to have mats for sleeping on and sitting on and lying on and whatever exactly, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't necessarily use rigid things. Rashi, of course, points out that this machatzel is akadim is kasha, the eina nocha lemishkav, not the kind of a thing that you would necessarily want to use to lie on, because not comfortable. Okay, whatever. So anyway, let's say you have such a thing. So can I use it for schach? It would be very convenient that we know all about the convenience of it. So here's what the Mishnah says. If it's gedola, if it's large, without telling us what largeness is, and but anyway, let's see, it's large. Asa l'shchiva mekabelas tuma ve'ein mesachachin ba, l'sichach mesachachin ba, te'ein mekabelas tuma. So the Tanakam over here says that, well, if it's a large mat, so it depends on what this mat is for. If this mat is for lying on, or for our purposes, walking on, it would be a kli. So it's mekabel tuma automatically, and then ein mesachachin ba, you can't use it as chach. But if it's lesikoch, but if you made this mat as to be for sikoch, not so obvious to me exactly this whole sikoch. It means, you know, not necessarily for the ritual purpose of sukkah, or specifically for the ritual purpose of sukkah. It doesn't make a difference. I just don't know what their market was like. I mean, what did they use? They had their own gazebos where they would make machatzelas akarim as the. So maybe it makes sense that they would. I mean, just like it makes sense for us to use it that way. So maybe that was a regular commercial product. It would be kosher because that doesn't count as a kli. If the whole hishtamshus of the thing is to provide shade, that's not called a kli. That's not hishtamshus. It's a very interesting distinction between use of the item for sitting on, stepping on it, walking on it, whatever, versus just being shaded by it. But that would be That's an actual significant distinction for our purposes, and it would not count as a kli if that's what you did. You produced a product like this whose purpose was to provide shade. So that's not a kli. So one way or the other, that you see, the mat by itself would not necessarily imply one or the other. It depends on what its label is, what its function or purpose is. And then the Gemara is going to say something is wrong over here because it gives you two categories. Either it's made for kli, the shchiva, it's made as a kli, or it's made for schach. What if it's generic? What if it's just a generic, all-purpose kind of a mat? So is it presumed one way or the other? That's going to become an issue. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achas ketana v'achas gedola, he says, what do you care about the size? Doesn't matter what the size is. Ketana, gedola, doesn't matter. It looks like there's no machlokas. I mean, that was really what Tanakama also said, that if they made the machatzeles for shchiva, it's a kli. If they made it for schach, it's not a kli. So we have to see. The Gemara is going to try to unpack this, and it's going to be very hard. It's going to take it almost a whole daf to try to get to the bottom of this machlokas. Anyway, Gemara says, Hagufa kasha. Wait a minute, this doesn't make sense because there's a case missing. Namely what? Amrit asal l'shliva mekabelas tuma ve'en mesachefin. But you said in the Mishnah that if you make this machatzelis, this mat of sticks, for shchiva purposes, so then it's a kli ve'en mesachefin ba time of the asal l'shliva. So that's only we're going to only make it possible because it was made for shchiva purposes. Hastama. But what if it's generic? Then lesikuch. Okay, so it sounds like if it's just a generic all-purpose mat, it'll be kosher. The haratan lesikuch mesachachin ba. Ve'en mekabelas tuma. Time of the asa lesikuch hastama l'shchiva. But then you go say in the next line that if you made it for schach, it'll be kosher. So presumably, the default status of a generic mat would be puzzle. So that's the problem. Really, it's just a long-winded way of saying, well, what's the default? So my answer is, hello, kasha, kan bigdola, kan bigtana. So at this point, the Gemara is suggesting, well, remember, our Mishnah only referred to a gedola case. So maybe that's the point. It's emphasizing the difference between a gedola, a large mat, versus a small mat. In what way? That a large mat is going to have one status by default. A small mat would have the other status by default, but if it were explicitly made one for one person or the other person, then it would just have whatever the status it was made for explicitly. Which way is the way that would be? Well, it doesn't matter all that much, but at least we could say, I don't know, could go either way. Then there is a little parenthesis here, which doesn't necessarily add too much. Doesn't make a difference either. The one says, well, that might work for the Tanakhama, maybe. But not for Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer has the same problem, and he explicitly tells you it doesn't matter what its size is. Rabbi Eliezer, mer achas ketana v'achas gedola, and then he goes and he does the same exact thing, which is he eliminates the default case. But then, it just goes through exactly the same problem, which is it specifies the two opposite ends and it doesn't identify the middle case, the stam case, the default case. Ella. Okay, so here's the answer. The answer is going to be given by Rava over here, which may survive for a little while. And it says, Ela Amar Rava, Rava the Amora says, Bigdola, here's how you have to read what's going on. Bigdola, Mishnah identifies something about Gedola, right? So Bigdola, Kuliyama, Lo Pligi, Distama, L'Stichach. Everybody, both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are going to agree that if it's a large mat, which is made Stam, that's Kasher. Ki Pligi, Biktana. The Machlok is really only about a Kitana, a little mat. What is Gadol, what is Katan? I think earlier in this Masechta we had the same type of a thing about gadol v'katan. I think gadol meant large enough to sleep on, and katan would mean a small, too small to sleep on, which means that it's really small, really small. Like gadol is the thing that you sleep on. I think earlier on in Masechta that's the way it was presented, that gadol means large enough for a person to sleep on. Katan means that it's too little for that.
David, could it's possible that katan would mean something that would be less than seven tzvachim? If he said that seven tzvachim is like the minimum size for a kosher sukkah.
Well, you're making this seem as if it has to do with sukkah. This is really about a tumas sakli thing. Right. So when you talk about shchiva or you talk about sikach, those aren't necessarily ritual purposes. So it wouldn't necessarily have to be about the dimensions of a sukkah. Mm-hmm. It could be more a matter of which you know, section of the department store will you find these things carried. So, I don't know. So, it may be right, but it doesn't specify.
Do we know there are all different types of shiurim for, like, different items and stuff like that?
For Tumah V'Tahara purposes.
Right, so, like, I'm saying if it's, let's say, below the threshold, but you're miyakadit for sleeping, would that be mekabel tum also, or it's...
Right, so, the question about who gets to label the thing, whether it says here in the Mishnah, if it's for shchiva or if it's for sikach, who's the one who's labeling the item for sikach or for shchiva? So I was listening to Rabbi Rothberger talk about this and last week, and he talked about the question about whether it's about the manufacturers, the local minhag in the place where it's manufactured, or the intended customers, or the local minhag in the place of the customer. So there is some ambiguity regarding the question of who gets to be the labeler. Normally, when it comes to a kli, it's the balabais. The owner is the one whose opinion matters only, exclusively. But in this case, we are working with the default. So for default purposes, it's going to be a question. So in any case, Rava says that bigdola, in other words, he goes lahakil. He says, if it's a mat that's gadol, then the default is that it's kasher, unless you bedavka make it for shechiva purposes. But ki pligi, the whole machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chamim is about a sukkah katana, about a machatzelas katana. That what the Tana comes over, stam katana l'shchiva. Stam katana l'shchiva. But so that doesn't sound like what I was saying. That sounds like a sukkah, a mat, a machatzelas katana is sleep size. It's sleep size. So that's why it would be suitable for and used for sleeping. And if it's gedola, so then it's typically going to be larger than necessary for sleeping, so that would presumably be bersikuch. Unless there's something else going on, which is small means that it's going to be made of softer material, and large means that it's going to be made of more rigid material in order to have its structural integrity, and maybe that's what's going on, doesn't explain. So that's the way it's presented so far, at least the way Rava is presenting it. So the machlokas is a machatzelis kitana tana kama sever stam kitana lishkiva Rabbi Eliezer sever stam kitana nami lesikach. The Gemara says v'achi koamar. So here's the way you would read the Mishnah now according to this interpretation. Machatzelis akonim gedola, if it's a large mat, asa lishkiva, if you made it for shkiva purposes, then fine. Mekabelas tum, it's a clay. So you won't be able to use it for schach. Taima de'asa l'shkiva, because that's because you made it or you purposed it for shkiva purposes. Hastama nasek mishan asel l'sikach mesachin ba. But if it's a regular generic mat, then it's going to be presumed to be for sikach purposes, and it's going to be kasher. Then there's a question about the girsa here in the parentheses. But we can skip it all. The Yasser Rabbi Eliezer Lameimar. Rabbi Eliezer says that no, even a sukkah katana, achas katana, achas gadol, stama is ksheir l'sikach. So that means Rabbi Eliezer is being mekel. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying that even a sukkah katana, by default, is going to be presumed to be kosher unless it was made bedavka for kli purposes. For that machatzelas. Yeah, machatzelas will be by default. It'll be kosher unless it's made specifically for shechiva for kli purposes. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye is now challenging Rava by saying, "Ihachi, there's something wrong with your pshat." Ihachi, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer achas ketana, achas gedola. He doesn't like the choice, the wording. He doesn't like the wording here. If the point is that everybody is agreeing about the sukkah gedola. But the thing that they're disputing is the default status of a machatzelas ketana. So then that shouldn't have been the way Rabbi Eliezer should have been quoted as objecting. Ihachi, why does Rabbi Eliezer say it this way? Achas ketana? Whether it's small or big. It's not the way he should have said it. He should have said achas gedola v'achas ketana. Not just because it's gadol, even if it's katan. Because the implication that he's broadening the gadol category to embrace the katan category, which is if that's what the intention was, if that's what Rava says your interpretation of this is, so then that's the way it should have been said. The yod, and not only that, I have another objection to your interpretation here of what's going on in this Mishnah. Ki pligi begadolu de pligi, v'Rabbi Eliezer l'chumra. I have a source that tells me that it's the opposite of what you said, namely what? You made it seem like there's no machlokes about a machatzelis gedola, but a machatzelis katana is a machlokes, but I have a brisa that says the reverse. And you're not a tana, so you can't attack my brisa. Desanya, machatzelis hakonim begedola, mesachachin ba, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, imena mekabelis tuma mesachachin ba. Sounds like, even in the gadol case, there was a machlokes. See, the way Rava presented it, a gadol case, there was no machlokes, because if it's explicitly made for one purpose or the other, they both agree. And if it's a default, they both agree. So there wouldn't have been any machlokes about the gadol case. So this braisa does say that their machlokes is about a machatzelas akonim gedola. Okay, so that was Abaye's objection to Rava's pshat. Ella, yeah, it looks like the Gemara threw out Rava. Ella, I'm a Rav Papa. Rav Papa comes along and he gives you a different interpretation. It wasn't like Abaye who gives us other interpretation. It's a little funny sometimes when, you know, we... Okay. Anyway, Amar Rav Papa, Viktana. If the mat is a little mat, Kuliyamala Pligi, Distamalishkiva. No, everybody's going to agree, and this is Lahachmir now. If it's a Machatzela Sakitana, it's a little mat, everybody, Kuliyamala Pligi, Distamalishkiva. Everybody's going to agree that this mat by Mistam is for Shkiva. It's going to be a Kli, and therefore it'll be possible. Ki Pligi, Bigidola. Machloka says about a machatzelas gedola stam. The Tanakama Savar, stam gedola lesikoch. Tanakama holds lahakel that a stam machatzelas gedola is kosher. There be Eliezer Savar, stam gedola nami lishchiva. Rabbi Eliezer is holding lahachmir now, and he's saying that a stam machatzelas gedola has to be assumed to be for a kli and pasul. Umay asa l'shchiva the koamar. So then, wait a second. So if it's possible, so if this is the way the Rav Papa is understanding the machlokas that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham are arguing about a stam machatzeles gedola. So now let's see what it says here. Umay asa l'shchiva the koamar hachi koamar stam asiyasa nami l'shchiva ad the avid l'sikach the stam. Let's look at this again. Keep the Yibigdol. Tanakama says, Stam Gedola Lesikach. Rabbi Eliezer Sover, Stam Gedola Nami Leshchiva. Umay Asoa Leshchiva de Komrit. So now we have to explain Rabbi Eliezer. The problem was that Rabbi Eliezer said, if you made it for Shchiva, then it's possible. If you made it for Sikach, it's kosher. So now you have to just explain why the words of Asoa Leshchiva is pasul means that even the default is like that. So Hachi Komar, Stam Asiyasanami Leshchiva Adiyavid Lesikoch. So you're going to have to just kind of massage this reading into the words of the Mishnah, and it's going to end up being, according to Rav Papa anyway, that this Machlokes Tanakama versus Rabbi Eliezer, Rebetta Machatzeles Gidola, is about the default. That according to Rav Papa, the default according to the Tanakhama is kosher, and the default according to Rabbi Eliezer is pasul. And even though Rabbi Eliezer looks like he's saying only if it's asal l'shchiva it's pasul, but you know what he meant was, what he was saying was that by default it's as if you made it l'shchiva and pasul.
Aren't they also arguing about which one of gedola katana also generally represents shchiva? Because the first part we're focusing on Gedola being Shchiva, but Katana not, and then what's the stam? The second part, it seems like it inverts it, where Shchiva is considered to be, Katana is considered to be Shchiva, and Gedola is not necessarily.
We are actually doing that. We are ignoring the assumption of the first interpretation.
Right.
And according to Rav Papa's scheme of what's happening about mats, he's arguing what the assumption in the first case. He's saying that mats, generally speaking, little mats are generally speaking assumed to be l'shchiva and no good.
Exactly.
Large ones may or may not also be assumed for. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that it has a kli status, and Tanakhama holds it doesn't have a kli status. Everybody agrees that you can explicitly override whatever the default status would be based on your explicit intention, whether that intention is from the manufacturer or from the consumer. And so for our purposes, you could listen to Rabbi Rothberger's presentation about some auxiliary issues that come up with respect to the mats. But from all of what we're seeing so far, it would seem everything about mats should be kosher, because all of the mats that we are working with are made for people to use not just as shade, but literally as stuff. So it's like, it's lishma, it's like lishma. like it was made for schach l'shei mitzvah. So yeah, not that that matters or anything, but that it's but that that's the way we would have to kind of view it. In which case, then everybody should agree that there should be no objection whatsoever to using any schach mitzvah. It should all be perfectly kosher. We can stop here. This whole rest. Now this next piece, you know, we saw earlier as it happens. I don't know why he doesn't point that out on the side, but it came up earlier in this Masechta. All right, so maybe the next one, we'll stop here, and then the next one, yeah, finish the parak, and I guess, okay, that makes sense.
Okay, thank you. All right.